it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But here's Mac Jones. Remember, you're paying attention to two things. A, what is he saying? And B, in eight asked questions, how many times does he first answer with, that's a great question? There's only one way to find out, and it's right here on 95.7 The Game with your radio hosts in the afternoon, Willie and Dibby. All right, they started out, first question to Mac was about how he's helped his former teammate, Kendrick Bourne, pick up the Niners playbook this week.
Definitely spent a lot of time together, had a couple extra meetings with him, and just continued our friendship that we have. He knows how I see the game, and he does a great job coming back to the ball and playing hard and playing for 60 minutes. And one thing about KB, he's going to give everything he's got, like a lot of receivers in that room, you know, Ricky, JJ. So they're all built from the same stuff, and I'm looking forward to just competing for 60 minutes.
Your teammates have really spoken to, like, your sense of humor quite a lot. Obviously, you've been in a lot of great situations to play quarterback. I'm curious, like, does that personality ever come off as a lack of focus, or has it always been, you know, your ability to channel that in some way?
Yeah, I definitely think that's part of my personality, and I play to have fun and to try and win, and I think a lot of guys play football. It's hard when you're in the NFL and it's your job, but at the end of the day, winning is fun, and I understand that, and I want to go out there and be loose. And you talked about focus, and my goal is to have intentional focus, focus on each play, one play at a time, and slot each play. So they're one play, even if there's 70 of them, you just take it one play at a time and do your job on each play, and then at the end you can look back and grade it. But try and get into that game mindset where you're not in a practice mindset and you're out there just playing football, having fun, and going through your reads and your plays and moving the tempo of the huddle. So that's what I'm going to focus on, and I'll let the results take care of themselves.
You describe the sense of humors of Nick Saban and Bill Belichick.
I've definitely had a very interesting, great line of coaches that have helped me. And obviously Kyle, too. Kyle's really funny, and I feel like we're the most similar in terms of just our humor. But it's been good to learn from some great people, and I've just really been grateful to be here and learn from Kyle and the great coaches that we have here, too.
Nick Bosa was saying the other day that, if we were going to go to a backup, maybe it's the bright side is it's good to happen at the beginning of the year when the reps and stuff are still fresh, as opposed to maybe 10 games into the season where you haven't taken a snap. Is there something to that?
Yeah, a little bit. I think as a backup, all you know is you're not taking the first snap, and everything after that's fair game. So that's how I prepare. And like I said, I've done this a lot of times. That doesn't mean I'll be great at it one way or the other. It just means I have a schedule and system that I know that works for me as a starter, and got to do that this week, and yeah, that's a great point by him. Obviously, it's fresh, and like last year, I didn't play until the 10th or 8th game of the year or whatever, and not that you're rusty, but it's just a little different. You just have to continue to work throughout the whole season, and obviously, this opportunity is what I'm focused on, and like I said, take it one play at a time, and that's what will happen.
Are there things you could draw on from last year? I mean, when you were a rookie, you were a starter from day one, but last year, you began the season in this role as the backup. Is there stuff that you could draw from the experience last year of being called upon and now?
Yeah, for sure. That's a great question. And
number one.
I'm fortunate to kind of play a lot of different roles. And at the end of the day, your job as a quarterback is to either hand it off or throw it. And that's how simple I'm going to keep it. And that's when I play my best, when I have a low pulse and kind of just go out there and go through my reads and obviously have that intensity and focus, but really go out there, whether you're the backup or starter, and whether you play the first play or not, you got to be ready to play and have your system that works for you. And I'm very confident in that, and I've put a lot of work into that this offseason.
Now Adrian's going to be the backup, and he's got to approach it like, he's one play away. What have been your observations of him in the quarterback room? What you like what you see?
Oh, yeah. I really like Adrian a lot. Obviously Brock's in there and helping us, and Adrian came in and he's just a really laid back, cool guy and easy to work with. So, like, that's kind of what you want. And I feel like he's been in some good QB rooms with the Jets and stuff, and played a lot of football. So I'm excited to have him in there, and we've had a great week of preparation, and right now it's about dialing in the last couple hours here and putting our best foot forward.
What's your background like in noisy stadiums and anything in the NFL compared to what you dealt with in college?
Yeah, every game is different, right? But I really just understand what that means. Obviously, communication is more difficult, and you have to accept that, and it's not going to be perfect, but you just have to play functional, meaning, like I said, run it, throw it, or hand it off, and try and just stay on track. And all the other stuff is outside noise that is there but shouldn't really matter, and looking forward to the challenge. I know it's a really cool place to play with lots of great history and fans, and it's an indoor stadium. Obviously, indoor stadiums are louder. You know, when you have, I think, like games in Minnesota or something, you know, they're just, the sound is closed, so it's going to be a little bit louder. So looking forward to it, and definitely be a big challenge.
Hey, Mac, I know you were asked this when you first got here, but just wondering, now you're actually starting. With everything that went back, you know, years ago in the draft about all the chatter about possibly coming here, has it finally hit you? And do you ever think that you'd actually be starting a game for the San Francisco 49ers at quarterback?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I think it's all part of God's plan. And obviously on draft day, like I said, you don't have control over where you're going to go, but God put me here for a reason, and I'm just blessed to be here and really thankful for the people here who have, you know, allowed me to get back on track. And obviously there's a lot more to do, and got to be ready for this Sunday and go out there and have fun and let it fly. And I put in the work, so that's all you can ask. At least give yourself a chance.
Just wanted to follow up. What would you say was the loudest NFL experience that you dealt with?
It's a great question.
Number three.
Not to compare to anybody, but I mean, obviously I played in Buffalo a few times. It's pretty loud on those Monday night and Thursday night games, and Minnesota was loud, but I've heard really good things about this place and New Orleans, so looking forward to seeing how loud it is. I know it'll be really loud, so it'll be fun. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so the answer was three.
Yep.
That was fun.
I put it at four, but yeah.
Yeah, we both overbid, so if we're on the Price is Right, we both lose, but you were closer if that rule's not in play.
If it's not, yeah. And
I don't know if it is or not.
Yeah, just looking at Mac Jones as a starter, 11-15 on the road, 9-14 at home.
Okay.
And that includes New England and Jacksonville, obviously. He's got wins at Buffalo. He's got, you know, wins in some tough environments. He's never been in New Orleans as a starting quarterback, so that might be
interesting.
A little bit different. But, you know, he's been a guy who's been able to go out and be successful on the road, so there's that in his resume.
There was also I want to stick with this, but a quick aside, if I may, that while Mac Jones was talking there and we were all
what happened?
Locked in and lit, we batted around. Four to nothing.
Still batting. Yeah. That's pretty good.
More ducks on the pond.
We may have to turn our attention to Cincinnati and scoreboard watch the Reds. If the Mets continue on this trajectory,
dude, this is
it might be more about the Natty, you know?
This is unbelievable. You know what I notice about this Mets game? Is even when it was like 1-0.
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, no, not yet. But even when it was like 1-0, if you looked at the there goes more extra bases down the line. All right, so yeah, it's gonna be wow.
What happened, Skip?
Here come more runs. Make it two more. So 6-0.
Poor Tong, the pitcher for the Mets.
I think he's going to take a shower. So
well, he needs to. He's absolutely soaked. It's got to be pretty humid there in New York today.
Getting shelled. It's 6-0 Rangers in the top of the first. So, we're going to take him out. So, anyway, if you look at the facial expressions on the Mets in the dugout, literally, if there was a thought bubble next to him, it would just be like, oh, bleep, we're here at the yard again with our uniforms on. This won't go well.
Oh,
yeah.
Schmidt.
Yeah.
Totally.
Absolutely. So this is one hell of a collapse.
Reds in Sacramento tonight. You can stop by on your way and check out the Reds and the Athletics as they open up a 3-game series in that AAA ballpark where the Athletics happen to play.
The A's have they've won one in a row.
Which is nice.
So that's they're hot.
Kinda. I'm hot.
You're hot.
Your boy's hot. 6-0.
But you would do that after 1 in a row also.
I tried, but you guys tamped that down, and you were right to do so. You insisted I win 3 in a row, which didn't happen last year.
No, and now you've won 6 in a row, which is really quite a way to start the year. So Ride the Dibbers is going to be next hour. We do have Higher or Lower that we're going to play today because it's Friday, and if you're not familiar, just be with us in about 15 minutes, and Dibs will teach you how it works, and that's all kinds of fun. All right, back to Mac. Big Mac. So, I don't know. What'd you think? I mean, like, listening to him talk is pleasant enough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, like, smart guy. And, you know, I, like, gather some of the – I mean, I think that the way somebody kind of communicates and interacts with others as a quarterback, that's important. And so I think he's got that that piece of the puzzle. The rest of it comes Sunday.
Yeah, and he talked about, you know, Kendrick Bourne, KB, who he played with in New England, and, you know, being happy that he's here and somebody he has a connection with. And also the idea that he was here throughout voluntary workouts and OTAs. I know he missed about a week or so during camp with a minor knee injury. He, you know, missed about a week of those practices. But the fact that he's been around Ricky and Juwan and KB previously, that gives me a little bit more confidence that he's at least developed some chemistry with these players over the course of the last few months.
I'd hope, and the Kendrick part is really good. And I wonder, too, I mean, I doubt this had anything to do with it, but let's think about this for a sec. So, for example,
You okay?
Yeah, the Mets are out of the inning. The left fielder caught the last out by falling down.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in New York. Anyway, 6-0. So the way Kyle handled Monday, I'm sorry, not Monday, Sunday, after the game, go to the podium. And Kyle, I've never seen this before. Kyle is directly asked about Kendrick Bourne. The reason he was asked about Kendrick Bourne was because the assumption in that moment was Juwan Jennings looked very, very hurt. He was in a ton of pain. He could not go back out on the field. And we get word that in his locker, he couldn't lift his arm. And so that sounds like a multi-week absence and maybe something even worse is what it sounded like in the moment. And Kyle is asked about a free agent in the press conference. And I was shocked to hear the way Kyle answered that question because normally I would think, like, guys, we just played a game. I have no idea what's going on with the status of our players going forward. We had Kendrick in for a visit earlier this week. It hasn't happened as of yet, but, you know, we'll let you know if something changes. Is the answer I would have expected. That's not the answer we got. The answer we got was, yeah, we're trying like hell to get him. We tried earlier this week. It didn't work, but he didn't sign anywhere else. So I'm hoping we can get him this week. And where my mind now suddenly goes, especially now knowing that Juwan is not hurt that bad. Not that he fully knew that in that moment, but I wonder if in that moment, Kyle already knew that Mac Jones was about to be playing football. And that's yet another reason to want Kendrick Bourne because now your quarterback and another receiver have a little chemistry because they've played together. I wonder. I don't know. I don't know if that was a factor or not.
Could be.
Just kind of thinking out loud.
I also look at Russell Gage, 28 snaps, no targets. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 27 snaps, no targets. And I think about Sky Moore. He had 3 plays, and you'd rather not put him out there. He's more of a return specialist at this juncture. So, Juwan status aside, you've got Ricky Pearsall. I don't know if you saw the video of Brandon Ayuk. Must have been yesterday at practice, but he's closer than I thought. Just looking at him running around, he's running, he's cutting, he's in sweats, he's not in pads or anything yet, but he's actually doing things that look like football activities.
Right.
I'm not saying he'll be back next week, but for me, I was encouraged that he looked actually better and more spry. But in the short term, you've got Gage and Valdez-Scantling, who were not thrown to. Robbie Chosen's gone. Watkins, I think, will be back and up on.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do? Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday, but outside of that, yeah, bring in Kendrick Bourne, somebody who you are familiar with, Mac is familiar with, and if you go forward with, you know, Jawan and Ricky and Kendrick Bourne. And Sky
and,
Moore.
And Watkins.
And Watkins. If that's your five, I think that's better than what you had last week.
I agree. Jawan is a total question mark, obviously. I don't know if he's going to play. The news has all been good this week. But he's listed as questionable. What was his practice report, by the way? Did he practice at all? Did Jawan practice at all this week? Or did they just list him as questionable? Did he actually get out there and do? I know Trent didn't do anything.
I know that Jawan was doing some things on the side in terms of actually participating in Niners practice. I don't think he did, but I'll double check.
Maybe probably limited.
Limited.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was also a little bit of a miscommunication. Kyle said today in his press conference that Trent was out there today in practice, although it was like half speed, he said, but he was out there.
Okay. I mean, and the rules for Trent, as we know, are different. The rules for Trent Williams have always been different, and they've never been more different than they are now. So that's another side of it as well. But
he's listed as limited today.
Trent or Jawan?
Trent.
Okay.
Limited. Watkins was full. Pooney was full. McCaffrey full. Jawan was limited.
Okay.
And he's questionable. And Gross Matos was limited. And then Bosa, Barch, and Gifford, they all were full. But the only guys listed on the report are Purdy out, and then Trent and Jawan questionable.
Yeah, I think the, you know, and I don't know that Kyle would have answered this, but the question is, not knowing that Jawan's status, but how would you shake out those other receivers? The Kendrick Bourne, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Russell Gage. I guess we can put Watkins on the list. I think Watkins is probably going to be up. As you said, Moore will be up because he's a kick returner. Ricky is going to be up. Jawan's up if he's healthy. If that all happens, who's the fifth receiver? Who's the other guy? And I do hope it's Bourne. I hope it's Kendrick Bourne for multiple reasons. He knows the system better than even the other guys. The other guys didn't do much, and Mac Jones has played with him before. So that's, I mean, this is not an educated opinion because I don't know what's going on in camp and how guys look and who's in shape and all that. But my fandom is hoping. I'm hoping it's Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, me too. And I think for the familiarity and also, you know, the Mac Jones comfortability. But you look at what they did in the opener, and Kyle Juszczyk played almost half of the offensive snaps, which tells me that it was a lot of two running backs, and you know it was one tight end at least, which means only two receiver sets half the time. And even beyond that, they had two tight ends a bunch. So I'd have to look exactly how many times they had three receivers. It was about a quarter of the time, which in the NFL is very, very low.
Yeah, extremely low.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.